Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a San Diego Soundbites episode, and in this one, we're talking all about American Gods. First was a novel from Neil Gaiman. Now we see it on Starz as a television show, and there's also a comic book adaption coming out from Dark Horse Comics. P. Craig Russell is handling the adaption as well as the layouts, doing the sort of the sketches that Scott Hampton, who you're here in the interview, then comes along and tightens them up, and it's fully painted and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. And he's working with Jennifer Lang, who's the colorist, who then comes in and adds textures and colors and all that kind of stuff. So I got to sit down with Scott and Jennifer at the show, and we just sort of chatted about working with Neil and the way Neil likes to give creative freedom to his collaborators, and sort of about the whole world of American Gods and how it fits in with what's going on in the world right now. And it was just fun to talk to Scott and Jennifer. They were very relaxed. And I mention that only because when you're working on a project as big as this with a name attached like Neil Gaiman, you know, a real legend in the industry, I sort of expected maybe a little bit of apprehension, or that like they were worried, like, you know, are we doing our best work? Are we doing a good job? But again, I think it goes to the freedom and the trust that Neil Gaiman himself has in the people that work on these projects with him, to just say, no, I trust you. I do your own thing. And so that was really great to see. And it felt like, and it feels like, due to that freedom and that sort of no pressure approach that Neil takes, that Scott and Jennifer are really doing some of their best work here. And it was great to talk to them and get a feel for the creative process and the way they're approaching this. Again, it's it's a novel first, and then the television show, which obviously, you know, live action TV, you're bringing in visuals, and then they're doing their own thing here with the comic. I also found it interesting that neither Scott nor Jennifer had watched the television show purposefully, so hadn't seen any of it. They didn't want it to unduly influence the work they're doing, but they both plan on watching it when they're done with the project. So I found that to be interesting as well. So what that really does is it allows this comic to really be a direct adaption directly from the novel, rather than having any influences from the television show. So, you know, it's a great story that Neil Gaiman created, and an interesting and rich world that he created in American Gods, this, you know, the story of it. And so how much the comic has in common with the TV show versus how much the TV show has in common with the book, like, they all can be their own thing. They all can be their own different version and be inspired by the original source material from Neil. But I like the idea that the comic just pulls from the novel and the TV show just pulls from the novel, and neither the TV show nor the comic book series pull from each other. So it allows them to be, you know, purely what they are, purely an adaption in that medium, and not muddied at all by any kind of cross pollination between the comic and the TV show. So I myself haven't seen any of the TV show either. I do want to watch it at some point, but you know me, it's like I always feel like I should be reading comics rather than watching TV shows. So I'll probably do the same thing as Scott and Jennifer and wait till the comic series is finished completely, and then maybe go and check out the television series. I hear good things. I hear it's really interesting. So at some point, I'm sure I'll sit down and watch it. Anyway, thanks to Scott and Jennifer for sitting down and chatting with me. As I said, it was a very enjoyable experience. I had met Scott before. He did work on the Star Spangled War Stories with Jimmy Palmiotti, the G.I. Zombie a series that I absolutely loved. And so, as I said, I've met Scott before and got him to sign a few of my books of his work that he's done. But I hadn't met Jennifer, and she was really pleasant to talk to as well. So, again, thanks to them for joining me. Thanks to all of you for listening and supporting the Comic Source as always. I'll go ahead and play the interview for you now, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace coming to you live once again from San Diego Comic-Con, the 50th iteration. I'm here with Scott Hampton and Jennifer Lang, American Gods creators, on the book with Neil Gaiman, who's the writer, obviously. So, Scott, you handle the artwork?
Kind of, but P. Craig Russell does the layouts, and he also adapts the novel in script form. So yeah, he's involved very much with the project as well.
Great, and then Jennifer, you handle the sort of moody colors. So working with somebody like Neil Gaiman, you know, a legend, how is that for you? Have you found the experience to be?
I know Neil from way back when he and I and some other artists did the Books of Magic miniseries for DC. This is early in his career. He's a great person, a super nice guy, a very, very creative person. And if you need something from him, he'll make time to get it for you, but he doesn't interfere. He really doesn't. He really respects other artists' autonomy. So
just as a follow-up to that, you mentioned knowing him for so long, those early days, Books of Magic, did you ever imagine that he would, I mean, he was Neil Gaiman, and now he's, you know, Neil Gaiman.
Right. I don't know that I didn't think that, but I never imagined that he couldn't do that, nor Alan Moore or any of the other people that have gone on to become really influential in a lot of ways and to a lot of people. It's gratifying to see that, to see somebody come up from through the ranks of comics who then has a really strong, influence on the world. It's great. And his aesthetic is, I think, it's great to see that too, because at core, Neil is just such a good person, and that comes through in his writing.
Well, that brings me over to you, Jennifer. You know, you want to talk about aesthetic or mood. So much of what Neil does is about mood. And, you know, some of the unsung heroes of comics, you know, the colorists, the letterers, who really set tone and mood with color. So was there any back and forth with Neil and you about, well, what do we want the comic to reflect in terms of kind of mood and tone from the perspective of colors? I almost feel like colors are the soundtrack, if you will. You know, people don't realize when they're watching a movie how much the soundtrack affects the experience, and it's the same way with colors in comics.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That didn't happen for me because I really started with issue 6.
Right.
So Scott was doing the coloring then, and so when I came in and we started working, collaborating on that together, I really, had a template and Scott's help right there next to me to make sure that it was seamless and that I was working the coloring. And then I think as the issues went by, still keeping that tone and that framework, then I put maybe more of my own stamp on it. But initially I didn't come in, having to say how's this going to look,
right,
look and feel. They'd established that pretty early.
And as I say, Neil is so trusting, also so busy, which is a great combination. It's like you've got a guy who's very busy, so he doesn't want to interfere with other people. The only time he jumped in was after the second issue. I'd done all the art for it. We had all signed off on Shadow, the main character's book, and Neil was looking at the second issue and he went, I just have to say something about this. He wanted Shadow to have that biracial look, that, something that was more obvious than just skin tone. And so he says, can we change his hair? And I said yes. And so we all, decided on the look. And then I went in and with Photoshop, made some changes to reflect that. But the original art for issues 1 and 2 still looks like him with, a different haircut. Mm-hmm. It's kind of odd. When people buy those originals, they go, he doesn't look like himself. Yeah, well, for 25 issues, he does look like this
right.
other character, but the first two, we had a different...
He just got a haircut when he got out of jail.
He got a haircut as soon as he got out of jail, that's right.
Yeah, and you mentioned P. Kirk Russell, another yes. legend in the industry, adapting sure. the novel. From an artistic perspective, I'm sure you both read the novel, right?
Yes.
So do you feel, are you pulling from that more? Have you seen any of the TV show, or are you pulling from that? Like, where does the aesthetic come from?
Well, one, no, we haven't watched the show. The TV show.
There's no other show, so I...
Yeah.
great. But I'm just about to finish the coloring for the last 11 pages, and then we are going to watch it. But I don't think anyone wanted to be influenced by it.
Oh, great. So you purposely haven't checked it out. So you really want this to be more faithful to the vision that Neil had in the book.
That's
well,
right.
I mean, I can't speak to that myself because I don't know how faithful they're being. They might be so faithful that you couldn't be more faithful. But I don't know that. That said, what I mostly note is that Craig he's very faithful, but he also will on occasion, you know, tweak something here or there, you know, so I'm trying to it's kind of fun to have all the hard work of storytelling and adapting done by someone else. He then does roughs, which are sort of stick figure kind of roughs, which I then interpret, and so it's kind of nice to have that mostly taken care of. On occasion, I may look at it and go, well, I think I can improve this one panel by changing it up a little bit. But that's one panel in out of 500, you know. So it's really rare that I do it. Otherwise, I'm pretty much just the finisher and just creating the look of the characters and the environments is a lot. Is its own, you know, hard work, and then it's all sort of stepping stones of inspiration. Then Jennifer can speak to this. Once I finish interpreting what I'm getting from Craig, then you're going to interpret what I'm doing, and then so yeah. If you
can. Yeah, the fun for me is because we work in the same studio. He'll get the pages from Craig and start working on them. So while I'm coloring, you know, the last issue, or they're sometimes ahead of me. You know, like a couple of issues ahead, rather. I'll be able to look over and see, oh, what's coming up, and I can start thinking about it then, or we'll even talk about it, like the underwater scenes or the ice scenes, you know, stuff that are really fun to look forward to doing, like what's the mood going to be. So I start doing that then.
So from a technical standpoint, both creating the visuals and the colors, you look at the story. Do you just approach it from a technical point, like I'm just using my skills, or are you, because this is the thing about American Gods that I love, right? It's this giant mythological story, new gods, old gods, but it's also kind of a metaphor for the younger generation wanting to replace, right?
Yeah.
Which we all can relate to. I mean, I'm not
sure.
A god, but I sure can, you know, I saw my parents go to work, buy a house, you know, and you grow up and you do the same kind of things. And in that way, I think it's very relatable. So do you ever think about those type of things when you're working, or is it just I'm using my technical skill? I mean, maybe more so for the color because it's a little bit of mood and tone, but...
Well, I think you never are divorced from how what's coming at you affects you.
Mm.
So when I see what Craig is doing and Rick Parker, the letterer, and I see that kind of sparks me. Then I'll go back and I'll read the section again as well. So then I have what Neil was sort of intending, and I see where Craig is being very faithful, or where he's slightly departing, or where he's taken two characters and put them together in order to move it along. And so I feel like what I do is I take what I'm seeing. And then I just sort of then go to my blank canvas of just creativity and go, all right, so now what can I do to take all these elements and bring them together in an interesting way, a dynamic way, a creative way, and not just feel stifled by what I'm seeing before me. If for instance, there's a sequence where Neil had people just standing around in a location and talking, and Craig has interpreted it as them standing there talking in a hall, but I can have them moving from, you know, say one part of the building to another part. Well, then I'll do that, you know, maybe. But Craig does the same thing. I mean, he'll get movement and other things going when it's fairly static, and that's just what you do if you're trying to visualize stuff that's mostly dialogue. Now that said, there's a great deal of action, a great deal of, of movement in the novel, but in those instances where it's mostly just people talking.
Pages of car scenes.
You're looking
it's
for
a
little
challenge.
Bits of business, little ways to, and hey, can you cut away to the leaves skittering by in the building for one shot and not lose the reader? Great. You know, that will enhance the feel or whatever. So yeah, you're inspired and your creativity is still there. You just want to make sure that you don't either obviate or just get rid of what the intention that's already there.
So, and again, with colors, it's a lot about capturing emotion, right?
Oh, absolutely. And then it's actually, this has been an easy job because it is so dialogue heavy, you know, because being an adaptation where Craig was so faithful to it and having the benefit of the length, which you might not normally have, to have 500 pages to do this in the graphic novel form. It's not just from the images that I can pull out what kind of tone and feel do we want to have for these particular panels or pages or scenes, and how to switch them in the next, you know, to sort of keep an ebb and flow. But there's so much dialogue. So someone is saying something, usually an emotional, you know, conversation, or the setting itself, and Scott will sometimes have painted some of the panels, and so that will influence, you know, do we want to pull away from that some, or do I want to go with it here because it's just so beautiful and moody. But I do think typically what people are saying really helps sort of uncover what the mood should be, you know, for those particular pages.
Very true. And then there's the fact that I've never known anybody who is more jazzed and capable of bringing forward the animals in the work more than Jennifer. Jennifer, she calls them the critters.
And I get to call her a critter.
It. Yeah, and she does this fantastic job with her fur and all this other stuff. And so whenever animals show up, Jennifer just sort of brings them forward almost more than Shadow is in the scene. And it doesn't change. It enhances the moment. Because what I find is that people just take for granted Shadow, right? He's just in almost every scene.
So right.
He'll just be there doing his thing. You don't have to worry about, you know, too much about modeling him from moment to moment because he's just Shadow, right? He's the base. But then you've got these little elements that are kind of just these pop-ins. And sometimes those are the critters. And in those moments when, or as I sometimes also say, with the food, you know, there's a scene where Jennifer goes to town with a pan of bacon and eggs. That's just it's just a bunch of lines. I drew maybe five lines to indicate this. It's a big panel, and she just did a masterpiece of bringing it to life. So yeah, I think that those are also factors here. What inspires? What juices you? You know, it's like I've spoken to a couple of these things. You know, but you can speak to it more clearly, probably.
Oh, yeah, I've said that the greatest compliment Scott's ever given me on the coloring was when I was coloring the bacon and egg pan, and he had to run out and go get some bacon and eggs.
I was drooling by the time.
I was like, that's like so delicious.
That's amazing. Well, I want to thank you two for your time.
Pleasure.
Hope you have a great show. I think you've so perfectly captured the world that Neil created and the mood. And I myself have only seen the first two episodes of the TV show, but and it's its own thing.
Yeah.
But I think you'll enjoy. I think you'll enjoy it. Yeah, so you have that
cool.
To look forward to.
That's
great.
Excellent.
Great to hear. Thanks so much.
Thanks again.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.